Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We've been looking this week at Psalm 107, and I've entitled this Understanding God's Loving Kindness. Verse 43 says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." And we are looking at five areas where God's redemption applies to our spirit, to our walk in God, and that is the realm of our spirit, the realm of our soul, our mind, and also the battles of life, the circumstances of life, the negative ones as well as the good ones. We need His redemption and His help at all seasons of our lives. So let's now look at verses 23 through 32, and I'd like to read these. Now we're talking about the trials, the battles we go through. And it's just giving a parallel. It's talking about seafaring men, but it applies. We're on a journey, are we not? Until we pass that final river, Jordan, we are in a ship, if you will, and Jesus is the captain, and He's directing us throughout all the storms of life we face. They that go down to the sea in ships and that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Beloved, these verses I've shared with you refer to the storms of life, the negative circumstances we go through. And even though it's just using a symbol, if you will, of men at sea, it refers to all the trials and all the troubles and all the storms of life that we can go through. And then let me read verses 33 through 38. Now we're going to see the power of God displayed and His heart for His people. He is a God who will fight in your behalf. It goes on to say in verse 33, He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Praise God. And now it's interesting, at verse 39, we see a transition because, you know, sometimes in our poverty, in our distress, in our trials, we cry out and then God does bless us. But then we have dangers that then, even as the children of Israel, once they had conquered their enemies, they were in the promised land and they were filled with the goodness of the land, it says, then when they are filled and are no longer hungry, if you will, in their soul or in their bodies, they forget the Lord and they are just, they draw away from Him. That's the nature of who we are, saints. And all of us can be tempted that way. We can be just blessed of the Lord. We've seen that with major ministries in decades past. They've been blessed. They've been prospered at the pinnacle of God's anointing, it appeared, and His blessings, and they stumble and fall. Verse 39 says, again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. And we see in verse 39, there's a danger that comes with comfort and with the security of prosperity and self-reliance. Let me turn to a passage in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 8. And it talks about a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land, this is the promised land for Israel, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But now comes the warning. Beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly cities and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And verse 17, and shall say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Some powerful words to reflect upon and to remember, beloved. He wasn't just speaking to Israel. He was speaking to every one of us. When times are good, let us realize, what is God doing now in our lives? Look back, even at King David, when the kings went to war, well, he decided that he thought he'd just, you know, he'd stay in Jerusalem. And as a result, there was Bathsheba. And that forever changed his life. God's mercy was extended. His forgiveness was extended. But he had trouble and wars in his house until the day of his death. So, beloved, what is God doing now in your life? He's changing external and internal props that we kind of rely on, points of reference, our past habits, patterns, ways of doing things. And what's as a result? Our reliance, our self-confidence can be totally shaken. And why is God allowing that to happen? Beloved, he wants our dependence to be totally on him. Beloved, there are times in, you know, as I've shared earlier in these broadcasts, as I read Psalm 40, when I've been in the pit, it's never on my own I've climbed out of it. I have been desperate, and I cried out to the Lord in my helplessness and hopelessness, God, help me. And you know, it was at the times I was weakest, at the times that all I could do is turn unto God, cast myself upon his mercy. It was then he helped me, he delivered me. And let's go on now, reading verses 40 and 41. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. What is the Lord saying in these passages? Well, he delivers those who are willing to be humbled. He delivers us from spiritual pride and arrogance. He delivers us from haughtiness of eye, from the pride of life, from dependence on our own resources. Beloved, God's power is sufficient for any crisis, for any need. Beloved, there's so much more that could have been shared, probably much more profound revelation that can be gleaned out of this psalm, but this is just a taste, if you will, of how God's power is sufficient for anything that you face in life. Let me read again verses 1 through 1 and 2, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And that final verse, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things," the things that I've shared with you, the things in this psalm, "even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Praise God. Well, in the moments that remain, let's just take some time to be with the Lord and allow him to minister to you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we want to be wise. We want to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And Father, we repent from the times, Lord, that we have been in difficult places, and it's been the result of our own foolishness, our own poor choices. And you have allowed us to walk in affliction that we would get miserable enough that we call out to you and you would intervene in our lives. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Father, there are those right now that are in that pit. There are those now that are, Lord, they've come to the end of themselves. They don't know the way in which to turn. But Father, I'm asking now in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ that in your compassion and in your mercy and in your loving kindness, you will reach down to them and meet them at their point of need. You will redeem them, Lord, from the hand of the devourer. You will rebuke the devourer for them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for it. Beloved, hear the word of the Lord. I am with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. I am with you, and I will make a way in the wilderness. I will cause springs of water to nourish and to minister to you, to quench the thirsting of your soul, and you shall see, yea, that land that is very far off. You shall behold the King in his glory, and you shall know that I take you by the hand and I lead you now and strengthen your steps, that you shall not falter, you shall not fall, but you shall arise, and my glory shall arise upon you and shall be seen upon you, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your word. Saints of God, thank you for joining me, and I invite you to tune in next time as we share the good things of the Lord together. I love you. Share those prayer needs. And also we'll give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,